Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another wonderful episode on the silsila, The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. A kind reminder that when you are making dua, make dua for yourself, your family, your neighborhood, your community. But also remember the ummah in your duas. Make dua to Almighty Allahu Jalla Jalaluhu that for the sake of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he grants relief to the ummah, shifa, cure to those who are sick and suffering, and protection against the oppressors. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, today we have another wonderful topic of discussion, such a topic that is near and dear to each and every one of us. In fact, a topic that's supposed to be near and dear to every single person out there. And yes, we are going to be talking about parents. No matter how much we hear about this, we listen to this, we read about this, we can never do justice in really serving our parents, because they truly are a huge blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. And we as children, no matter our age, a person who is 40, 50, even 100 years old is still the children of their parents. And so that blessing that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we need to look after it. And to discuss this, with lots of Madani pearls of advices, we have, once again, we are honored to have our respected Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Ziyad Madani to discuss it as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Sujan, how are you, Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah's rahmah. We are well, Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. We have a lovely topic.
Yes, Alhamdulillah.
And I see your notebook is here, so we are going to have lots of lovely information,
inshallah,
lots of encouragement as well regarding parents and what great blessings they are that feature in our lives. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Stay tuned for this discussion. Let's remember the beautiful hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini Khayrun Min Amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make the good intentions that, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm here to seek knowledge of deen, what I learn. I will try to practice and share with others as well. Insha'Allahu Azza wa Jal. It's true what they say that time is fast and life is short. This temporary life, you know, we need to make the most of it. And the reality is, if we truly want to live this short life to gain the maximum benefit that lies in obeying Allah and the Rasul, Azza wa Jalla, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it lies in following the commands of the Quran. And it lies in applying the Sunnah of the beloved Rasul, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in our lives. Then a person will really live this short life and gain the maximum benefit from it, inshallah Azza wa Jal. We will now listen to a lovely kalam, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, we'll continue with the discussion. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Me chode ja raha hu dar tumara, ya Rasool Allah, main chhode ja raha hu dar tumhara, ya Rasool Allah, bulana jald mujhko phir khuda ra, ya Rasool Allah. یا رسول اللہ کہ ہو جاتا میرا دل پارا پارا یا رسول اللہ میں چھوڑے جا رہا ہوں دل تمہارا یا رسول اللہ بلانا جلد مجھ کو پھر خدا را یا رسول اللہ میں چھوڑے جا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. MashaAllah Azawajal, I'm sure you would have enjoyed that lovely kalam. And Alhamdulillah Azawajal, see, these kalams, they are designed to develop the love of Allah Azawajal and the Rasul صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم in our hearts. They are there to also develop the love of Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt and Awliya Allah. So continue listening, but don't just listen, recite along. Don't worry about the tune. Recite along, get your offspring also used to listening and reciting. And if you want to hear more kalams like this, then visit YouTube, our official page called Naat Production, where you'll find different types of kalams, SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawud Islami is catering for this. This is the alternative, that we don't need to listen to things that are forbidden. Above all, listen to Kalamullah. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, take us all for Hajj and Umrah time and again. Take us to visit Medina Sharif, Aqsa Sharif time and again. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Indeed, every person out there will agree that our parents have a special status in the court of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They hold a special place in our lives. And they are such a blessing of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they cannot be replaced. You can replace your friends, but your mother? Who can replace your mother? Who can replace your father? Who can replace your family, your biological brothers and sisters? So if the family unit, they have that mutual respect, but in particular, that respect, that reverence, that love for the parents, if it is there, then subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, in a sense, we will be fulfilling some part of the rights of parents to be loved and respected. So this great blessing, if somebody has to give you some kind of bounty and blessing, you won't just take it and do anything with it. You won't just not give it any importance. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have to recite the verses of Al-Qur'an, if we have to go to the ahadith, we come to realize that indeed Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu Himself has ordered us, has commanded us to treat them well and to give them that due respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the glorious Qur'an, Surah Bani Israel, verses 23 to 25, translation from Kanzul Iman, and your Lord has commanded that do not worship anyone except Him and treat parents with goodness if one of them or both reach old age in front of you. So do not even say uff to them and do not scold them and speak to them words of respect and spread for them the arm of humbleness with a soft heart and request humbly that, O my Lord, have mercy on them both, just as they brought me up in my childhood. Your Lord is well aware of what is in your hearts. If you are righteous, then indeed He is forgiving to those who repent. Dear viewers and listeners, how beautiful is this verse? And we need to actually try and absorb this verse in our minds, in our hearts, in the inner recesses of our hearts. That look what the Quran, which is a book of guidance to guide you and I, to guide the believers. What is it guiding me towards? What is it commanding me towards? That I must fulfill the rights of my parents. I must respect them. I must treasure this great blessing that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. Indeed, parents are such a blessing that cannot be replaced.
Absolutely.
We can't compare it to any other person, individual.
Absolutely.
Whether it's our siblings, whether it's our friends, our best friends, they hold a special standing in the court of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And when it comes to, you know, just looking after them, just being there for them and fulfilling their rights, we'll come to the rights in a few moments, inshallah. Because everybody wants to know that, are my rights fulfilled? But people don't want to, you know, think about, am I fulfilling others' rights? Yes. There's something so beautiful that one of our teachers had mentioned, that if every single person focused on how do I best fulfill the rights of the others, then automatically everybody will be fulfilling each other's rights.
Absolutely.
And there'll be peace, there'll be harmony in the home, in the society as well.
Yes.
Regarding parents,
Subhanallah,
what kind of status does Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, has given them? We mentioned the verse now. We can see, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, that after Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is talking about only worshipping Him, Azza wa Jal, this is followed by treat your parents well.
Yes.
So it's there to also show us there's emphasis, there's great importance.
Yes.
So regarding their status,
MashaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted parents a very high maqam, a very high status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially regarding their children. And we've seen now in the ayah Mulana Sahib recited, firstly, tawheed, worshipping Allah azza wa jal alone, that no one else is worthy of being worshipped. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks immediately after that. Allah azza wa jal speaks of the kindness that we should have towards our parents. So this shows us the high maqam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given our parents. There are hadith as well in which the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had shown us that after the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those that are next in line to receive our reverence, to receive our respect, our honor and our khidmah are our parents. Yes, Rasulullah started it from the mother and moved towards the father. But both of these personalities, they are kept next in line. After our duty towards our Rabb and then towards the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our parents are in line for our khidmah and our respect. And subhanallah, this verse is so beautiful that Mulana Sahib recited, in which Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us not to be disrespectful towards our parents, but rather to be very respectful and very humble in the court of our parents. Because most definitely they've done so much for us. They've done so much for us that we are unable to repay them. There's a beautiful hadith that comes to mind now regarding a personality or a person who asked the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had carried my mother upon my back and I had walked approximately 6 miles on such a stone that was so hot that if meat was placed upon it, it would have cooked. Have I fulfilled the right of my mother? And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this person, that maybe you have repaid her for one of the labor pains that she had when she was very young.
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
To repay our parents for all that they've done, that is really, it's an impossible task.
Right, right.
They've done so much, and the beauty also is not just that they've done, but the hearts that they do it with. The hearts that they do it with makes it extra special. If someone says, okay, I did khidmah for my parents and my parents did lots of kindness or they did lots of ihsan towards me, so see, I've matched it. Whatever they did, maybe my parents served me for 15 years whilst I was growing up and I served my parents for 15 years in their old age, so I've matched it. Actually speaking, no, we have never matched it. If I may, mention a story that I heard from Nigrani Shura Sahib?
Yes, absolutely.
Very briefly, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Nigrani Shura Sahib, once when he came to South Africa, Durban, Sufi Nagar more specifically,
Mashallah.
He mentioned something that really touched my heart, and you know, it found its place in my heart and it stayed there until today. I want to share it with the viewers of the channel as well. That once there was a father and a son, and the father told the son that, "Oh my son, I want to eat oranges." So the son said, "Labbaik, oh my father." He was a good son. He was a good child to his father. He said, "Labbaik, oh my father." So he went and got some oranges, not just one or two. He brought a crate of oranges. And he says, "Oh my father, oranges." So the father said, "Oh my son, I want to go up on that one hill and I want to eat it there." The son says, "Labbaik, oh my father, let's go." So they go on the top of the hill. And then the father takes an orange and he rolls it down the hill. And then he says, "Oh my son, please fetch the orange." So he goes down and he fetches the orange and he comes back huffing and puffing but smiling, "Oh my father, orange." The father says, "Jazakallah," he takes it, he rolls it down the hill again. He says, "Son, please fetch the orange." He goes back, he fetches the orange, he comes back and he presents it to his father. And he presents it to his father saying, "Oh my father, orange." But this time the smile is a little less. And then the father rolls it again. And then the son goes and fetches it, he comes back, "Oh my father, orange." But this time the smile is gone. One more time the father rolls it down, the son picks it up and comes back and he says, "Oh my father, orange." Now there's no smile, he's getting agitated, and the father rolls it down once more. And then the son says, "Good, obedient son in general," but this time he says, "Oh father, are you playing fools with me? What do you think of me? Each time I give you the orange, you roll the orange down, I must go fetch it and come back. It's starting to become annoying. I'm starting to get upset." He's starting to become agitated. And then the father smiles. And the father says, "Oh my son, when you were little, when you were a young boy, you wanted oranges. And I brought you to the same hill to sit and eat oranges.
Subhanallah.
And every time you rolled the orange down, I went and fetched it and brought it back to you. And from the first time I brought it back to you to the last time that I brought it back to you, the smile on my face didn't change.
Allah.
I still did it with a big heart towards you. Today when I ask, then the first time and the last time is not the same." And this shows us so beautifully that the heart that our parents did what they did for us with, that heart we cannot replace, and that heart we cannot match. So as much as we can serve them, serve them. As much as we can do for them, do for them. And since we are so incapable of fulfilling their rights completely, we are left with one last option. One last option that we cannot fulfill all of their rights.
Yes.
And so we turn to the verse of the Holy Quran, and Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Let's say, "Oh my Rabb, oh my Rabb, please, you have mercy on them the way they had mercy upon me when I was little."
Subhanallah.
That we are unable to fulfill all of their rights. We try our best, but then when we cannot reward them as per that which they deserve, then we ask Allah, "Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, you please reward them as per the amount that they deserve."
I think this is one of those types of du'as that should be made every day.
Absolutely.
If possible, after every salah, after Fard salah, we should make this dua.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, if I have been given the great fortune of serving my parents, then am I doing it with this in mind as a form of repayment or out of love? Because when they were fulfilling their rights, right, and they were looking after me, they were doing it with selflessness.
Yes.
They didn't do it that, you know what, I'm expecting something out of this child.
Absolutely.
Because this is my baby. This is my child. These are my branches.
Yes.
My extensions. And you know, something so nice that I read somewhere, Huzoor.
Right.
The way it says, the mother's love, na? You cannot exchange it with any other person's love.
Correct.
Whether it's a spouse, whether it's your own child, whether it's your sibling, your best of friends, but the mother's love is such a unique love that it's without any strings attached.
Unconditional.
Unconditional. Wow. That you'll never find. And the day that you might, you know, really think about this is when you lose your mother. When you lose your mother, then you'll feel like, I lost the lady in my life that loved me unconditionally. And regarding the father, they say, so beautifully that the day we lose our fathers is the day I might think about it, that, you know, I lost the one man that wanted me to be better than him.
Wow.
Who else? I mean, you take any other person, any other man out there, take your boss, take whoever it is, but the one man who wants you, you must be better than me, my son. You must have better facilities for the kids. Because every parent wants whatever facilities that the children have, it must be better than what I had.
Absolutely.
I never had, I want you to have. The opportunities I never had, you know, I'm going to try my best that you will get those opportunities. So you become better. And this is the parents, Huzur. Mm-hmm. They want you to grow and to be better than them.
Subhanallah.
But you're not going to find people in society that, because everybody is trying to, because of the ambitiousness, they want to climb that ladder, mm-hmm. to be at the top.
Right.
Parents are different. And, you know, something else that Mona Sahib, that, okay, me personally, perhaps you as well, maybe many people out there, that if you think about this, that subhanallah azza wa jal, what sacrifices my parents have made. I mean, how would I really know? Especially when I was an infant.
Yes.
I was 1 year old, few months old.
Yes.
The kind of maybe difficult time that I gave them, the late nights, you know, mm-hmm. that I used to miss myself. Mm. I used to cry. Same time they should run and come, clean me up, feed me, look after me. Imagine if, as an infant, they just neglected me one side.
Even for a day.
What would happen? I mean, you know, we can't manage, because the infant is helpless, completely helpless.
Absolutely.
The only thing the infant knows is to cry. Hmm. That's the means of communication, that something's wrong, hungry or whatever it is, right? So now, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, if we think about it, then how can we say, empathize in a way? Then how do I get that understanding of the sacrifices of my parents?
Mm.
So when I become a parent.
It's true.
When I become a parent, then I think, my mother and father must have went through something like this, man. You know, the child is sick. The worry you're going to feel.
Yes.
You're going to run to the doctor, hospital, give the medication. How my parents might have felt when I was an infant and I got sick. I mean, they worried about me. If I could go back in time and put myself there to observe, mm-hmm. how when I was born, my mother was so happy. My father was so happy. I mean, obviously we can't, but if I had to just imagine this year, the joy, the child is born, my son is born, my daughter is born, the joy that they felt, mm-hmm. you know, then we'll come to some realization that, these are special people.
Absolutely.
These are special people in my lives, and if a person still has them, we should cherish them.
Manasab, I want to ask a question as well, right?
Lebe.
It's just a feeling in my heart that I hear this over and over. Does Manasab consider that it is true that what people tend to say? People say you realize the value of your parents when they're not there.
Not in all instances. There are some very good children, some very obedient children. But of course, that's dependent upon the tarbiyat, upon the upbringing, upon the nurturing. Like you see in Dawud Islami, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, and Araqeen Ashura, and the bayans that we hear, and the books that we read.
Yes.
I mean, for me, like, I'll give you an example, right? SubhanAllah
right.
Azza wa Jal, this idea of kissing your parents' hands.
Yes, yes.
I wasn't really taught about it, nah? I wasn't taught whether you went to madrasa, you know, it was never there.
Right.
But now you came into this environment and then you're hearing about this, subhanAllah. I thought only the big mulana's hands must be kissed.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we should kiss the, you know, ulama, mashaykh. Yes, no problem, no issue. But you know, when last did I kiss my mother's hand? My father's hand? Huh? Maybe he's not an alim. Maybe he's not a sheikh, he's a father, she's your mother. So when last did I kiss their hands? I mean, don't we know that kissing the feet of the mother is like kissing the doorstep of Jannah?
Allahu Akbar.
This is written in the books. You think about it, the doorstep of Jannah, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal. Which other woman you can get this chance? But the mother. But at the same time, the father, has his great respect.
Mm-hmm.
Amara Sahib, I'm going to turn in that direction where
Marhaba.
That in some circles,
mm-hmm.
in some places, maybe some households, that absolutely we agree, we can't disagree, the mother has that special status.
Alhamdulillah.
And a hadith are there, who should I obey? Your mother, your mother, your mother, then your father. Yes, no problem. This is our teaching, this is what the Sharia says, right?
Alhamdulillah.
But in many circles out there, the father rarely features. Sometimes it's non-existent. When there's a program happening, again, we love, we respect our mothers, you know, there's absolutely no disrespect. But there's a point we're trying to make here. That yes, whilst we praise the mothers and we should continue. But you know, keep something in mind. That a lady only becomes a mother because of the father.
Subhanallah.
If there's no father, if there's no husband, how can she become a mother? And then gain all these different great statuses and blessings, subhanallah, right? So what we're saying is, if you are having programs where we recite these munajat regarding the mother, and so you know, also recite about the father.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are narrations with regards to the father.
Yes.
If Munasab can maybe share some of those.
Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. Yes, the father also holds a very great maqam in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And unfortunately, in our communities, I think that tends to be overlooked. People don't pay attention to it until, yes, you become a father yourself. So if a male does become a father, then he realizes what goes into it. And the amazing thing as well regarding the fathers, that I want to give Mubarak to all fathers, that Alhamdulillah, you know that most of the praise is going to go towards the mother, but it doesn't decrease the amount of work you do for your children.
Absolutely.
That you still work hard, you still perspire, you still give it your all in order to give them the best that you can give them. Even though you know that you're not going to receive much praise. When it's time for praise, everyone's going to say, Subhanallah, the mother has done such a great job, so much of work, yet you will sit there silently.
You're not losing any reward.
Absolutely.
Your reward is there.
Your thawab is there. Your thawab is there. But you're not really interested in the praise within dunya. Mm. So that is amazing. It's really amazing. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such a special maqam to the father. And remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we should do ihsan to our parents, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ, both the parents.
Subhanallah.
So it's not just the mother that is recognized. Right. And yes, the mother is recognized, but so too, equally, the father has been recognized that he is one of those parents, and the children must do ihsan, must be kind towards him as well. And as Mawlana Sahib mentioned, the beautiful narration as well, hinting towards the narration of the Jannah of a person being beneath the feet of his or her mother. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, we want that Jannah, isn't it? What is the door to that Jannah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the father is the middle door from amongst the doors to Jannah.
Allahu
Akbar. Whoever wants, he can protect it, and whoever wants, he can lose it.
Allah.
And protecting that door to Jannah is by honoring the father, by obeying the father, by treating him with kindness. And of course, losing that door to Jannah is the opposite of that. It's where someone is disrespectful and disobedient and not fulfilling the rights of their father. And it's important that we ensure that we attain the pleasure of our fathers as well. That means we need to do such actions that cause our fathers to be pleased with us. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal lies in the pleasure of the father.
Allahu Akbar.
And the displeasure of Allah Azza wa Jal lies in the displeasure of the father. Allah. Another narration, obeying the father is obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal.
Subhanallah.
And disobedience to the father is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is of utmost importance that we recognize the huquq, the rights of our fathers and our mothers, and it's of utmost importance that we do ensure that we please them and that we obey them, because pleasing them is pleasing Allah. And disobeying them, of course, will be disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal protect us from His disobedience and His displeasure, and place our hearts, our minds, and our bodies in the direction of His obedience and His pleasure. Ameen.
Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Dear viewers and listeners, some beautiful advices by our respected Mawlana Sayyid Ziyad Madani Sahib. But, you know, we can say subhanallah, mashallah.
Mm.
We should. But if we don't implement, if we don't apply, then how can we see these benefits? Na? As they say, if you want to taste the sweetness of your knowledge, it will only appear by practically implementing it in your life for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu.
Subhanallah.
By applying it, by translating it into practice, then you can see benefit of that knowledge. Others' knowledge will just stay there. And sharing it with others, sharing ilmu nafi'a, beneficial knowledge, that is also one of the ways that will still benefit a person after he's passing away. Beneficial knowledge. Now regarding the rights, very quickly regarding the rights of parents. Now, it is mentioned that one shall love them from the bottom of the heart. One shall only speak respectful words and will dignify them.
Subhanallah.
One will strive, as one of said, will strive to please them. The person who has their parents, or even one, will not keep the best of his possessions away from them.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it happens that, no, okay, person is married, they got children. No, okay, give this to mother and father. We'll keep the best part of it. It happens, unfortunately. The person shall fulfill their wills, whatever wasiyah, the wills, after their demise. The person shall perform isali thawab, conveying of reward to the parents. And even here too, isali thawab can also be sent through to the Muslims who are still living.
Wow, mashallah.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know this. This is a benefit, one of the great benefits of Dawud Islami. You get to learn things like this.
So if someone's parents are still alive in dunya,
yes,
we mean that we can still do isali thawab for them?
If they are Muslims, if they are believers, absolutely.
Wow, subhanAllah.
So why you want to waste? In fact, I'll tell you a story about myself. This was in the beginning days of Dawud Islami. SubhanAllah. The benefit of Dawud Islami, na, that you're always learning something also.
Alhamdulillah.
Of benefit. Not of just useless, of benefit. So I was in a certain place, and this experienced Muballigh, right? He was making dua, or he sent a message out that I'm sending all of this as isali thawab to so-and-so. And I'm also sending it as isali thawab to Amir al-Sunnat. Hey, I got so worried. I became so sad. I picked up the phone. I asked the brother, what happened? He said, what do you mean? I said, you said isali thawab to Amir al-Sunnat? Tamal barakatum al-aliyah. He said, yeah. He said, anything happened? He said, no. I said, he taught me, you can send isali thawab also to the Muslims who are living.
SubhanAllah.
How amazing is that? Allah grant, Azza wa Jal grant our Amir al-Sunnat a long life with good health.
Ameen.
To continue inspiring us. So yes, isali thawab can also be sent through to those Muslims who are alive. And we should do so. If we are, whatever ibadat it is, when you're making isali thawab to your marhumeen, to your family members who have passed on, also send to all the Muslims, also send to your parents if they are alive, your siblings, your children, your uncles, your aunties, send it, no problem. There won't be any reduction in your reward.
SubhanAllah.
And everybody will get thawab, SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. You know, and then part of the rights as well is the person should make dua of maghfirah for the parents, not just when they've passed away, even when they are alive. Make dua of maghfirah for them. If they have passed on, then visit their graves once a week. Try to visit on a Friday if possible, that's recommended.
SubhanAllah.
And you know, treat them well, please them. They're not going to be around for a very long time. Make them happy. Make it comfortable for them. As much as you can, make it comfortable for them. You know, Asab, we have this idea of the old age homes, right? But you see, sometimes when you talk to people, obviously this is not an Islamic concept, right? But the person will try to justify it. That, you know, I'm working, I can't give the proper care to my mother, maybe they gone old, they gone frail, sicknesses, whatever it is, bedridden. So, you know, how do I look after them? I can't do justice. So rather, keep them there. I know 24/7 somebody is available to look after them. And then I'll go and visit. But those, I mean, we've been to old age homes. I won't forget Huzoor. And also because of the benefit of Dawood Islami, the blessings of Dawood Islami. We spent an Eid in Pakistan.
Mm.
It was Eid day. We spent at an old age home, Huzoor.
SubhanAllah.
And I'm telling you, you would cry. Do you think of these old people? And SubhanAllah, where's the family? Where's the children? They are enjoying themselves on Eid day. The day, I mean, they're visiting each other. They're sharing mitai and sweetmeats. They're enjoying lovely biryani or whatever food. And SubhanAllah, the old father or the old mother, you know, is stuck in one place with strangers. Where is the justice in this now? If they were with you, and the child that is doing this, how much of a reward are you missing out on because of not serving your parents?
Absolutely.
You've lost it. Somebody else is serving them. So all that reward for serving your parents, what the Quran is telling us, commanding us, to be humble in front of them, spread the wings of humbleness for them, where's that? But we're enjoying our lives, we're busy in our lives, and then we get the message, oh, your father has passed away. Your mother has passed away.
On that day, we leave work and run, isn't it?
It's a sad reality.
You know, Mulana Sahib, while you're speaking about this, I just thought of something and a message also for young parents.
Ji.
That alhamdulillah, many of us may have elderly parents and we try to do their khidmah as best as possible. I want to share a message to young parents as well who have young children. When I look at this concept of old age homes and people placing their parents in old age homes saying that they don't have sufficient time and ability to be able to serve them or look after them, parents, as children, are doing that to parents. Parents are doing the same to children. And if you're going to do that to children, then one day it's going to come back to you.
In which sense?
Parents are doing this to their very children. When it comes to them having little children, 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, instead of taking the responsibility of the tarbiyah, the training of those children, and ensuring that they dedicate their own time and invest their own time and efforts into training these children to be good Muslims,
right,
they choose to place these children in creches, and in some sort of a play school or somewhere else, just so that the child can be looked after for some time and I can have some free time on my hands to do a little extra or catch a little bit of extra sleep. Now, we know the value of that extra sleep for young parents.
Mm.
We know the value of that extra time for young parents.
Right.
But we need to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a great blessing and gift in that He Azza wa Jal has made us parents and thus entrusted the tarbiyah of these young mu'minun in our hands.
It's a very important
point.
And
if we are going to ensure that we give them that time, that love, that care, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, we will receive the benefit of that hadith too, that kama tadinu tudan. As you do will be done for you. So when you give it to your children, inshallah azza wa jal, we have hope that in your old age, as you stood with your children when they were little, that your children will stand with you in your old age. But the society that we see today, how people just shun their children away, it makes me realize that those children will do the same to their parents when their parents become old. So if we continue with this system, and I'm not saying that every person that places their child in a creche is wrong. You have sometimes single parents that are trying to support a family, trying to support their children. So they need
exceptions.
To do that.
Those are exceptions.
But the norm, if you have, there's a husband and there's a wife in the home, why do both have to go out to earn a living? Whilst one could have earned and we could have ate a half a loaf and been satisfied and ensured that our children were given tarbiyah. Why is it that both of us must go and completely leave and neglect the children for 8 hours and 10 hours a day?
In order to live a certain lifestyle, a certain standard of living, you know, so
at the expense of the tarbiyah of our children, at the expense of our children not learning Islam, which they were supposed to learn Islam.
The madrasa is there? Us.
Yes, the madrasa is there to educate, not to train. There's a difference between the parent and the teacher. The teacher educates, the parent trains the child. So the teacher, simply, if I can give a brief difference, the parent and the teacher says it once and the child must learn it. The parent shows it to the child 100 times such that it can't leave their mind or their habit.
Subhanallah.
So this we need to ensure that we give our children this. Therefore I say again, eat half a loaf and be satisfied whilst your children are trained well Islamically. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, when you do so whilst they are in their youth, whilst they are little children, one day when you are elderly too, they will say, I will eat half a loaf and serve my parents rather than eating a full loaf and ensuring that my parents are looked after by others in old age home.
It's a very important point that you have made, Huzoor. Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Adiya had mentioned once on Madani channel, if you want your children to remain yours, then you join Dawud Islami and you also make them join Dawud Islami.
Subhanallah.
Because the tarbiyah, the training is ongoing here.
Yes.
You know, where you fall short,
yes,
you know, Madani channel or Kids Land or, you know, one of the activities of Dawud Islami will try to fill those gaps.
Subhanallah.
And this is the reality. I mean, we see it, Huzoor.
Yes.
Those who are in it, they see it.
Mm-hmm.
That subhanallah, what great, you know, blessings is Dawud Islami. And how Dawud Islami is the tarbiyah, the training of ourselves, even of our children. Because even like our Madrasatul Madinas, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you know, we have one subject called Madani Pearls.
Yes.
Which is, and that happens every day for a short period of time. But it's about Islamic social etiquettes, mannerisms, sunan and adab. Where the child is, so you see, we must look at the madrasa as a bonus.
Yes.
Not as, you know what, okay, they went to madrasa. How many people went to madrasa, but they can't read the Quran. They got big, they can't read the Quran. How? Why? Yes, our emphasis, a large chunk of our day at the madrasa is dedicated to teach tajweed, rules of tajweed, makharij, pronunciations. But we have the other subjects as well, you know. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawud Islami is a great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the world, has given us. That these ideas, these concepts are taught and there's encouragement for it. Like what you are saying, that parents, in particular young parents, and unfortunately we see it, Huzoor, that young parents especially, they don't spend enough quality time with the kids.
Yes.
Everybody is just rushing, Huzoor.
Yes.
There's a, you know, the rat race of life, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
We just, you know, you get up, you go on to work, This, whatever it is, your hobbies, your recreational activities, hanging on around with your friends, you come back late, you're tired, supper, sleep, and repeat.
Yes.
And the kids now, they will look at you, your small kids, you know, Abba, you know, or mother, if mother is working, same thing. What happens to the poor kids? Think about it. They're growing up like this, or in some cases where the nanny or babysitter becomes the mother, becomes the father. And then when they grow up, maybe they'll give more respect to that person who was a stranger. So if we want our kids to remain ours, we have to do the tarbiyat. And Dawud Islami is there to help us to do the tarbiyat. If you're thinking like, how much must I do? I myself don't know anything. So subhanallah, the courses are there, activities are there, departments are there, so many facilities, even online platforms are available to empower ourselves so we can empower them.
Yes.
They are the next generation. They are the next leaders in society.
Absolutely.
No, so think about it, inshallah.
You know, actually, I noticed this as well. As time has passed in more recent years, I've noticed that a lot of parents don't give focus to Islamic education or to the Islamic education of their children because they themselves have not become Islamically educated. So they haven't received the education, and thus they fear that if I push my children towards Islamic education, they will look towards me for some assistance somewhere, and I won't be able to help them, and I will seem ignorant in the eyes of my children. Therefore, I keep them away from Islamic education, and then I don't seem ignorant. This concept is very dangerous, because there we placed ourselves in difficulty by not receiving Islamic education, and now we're placing our children in difficulty by not allowing them to receive Islamic education. So especially to eradicate, to remove this problem, Dawood Islami has systems that educate parents.
Subhanallah.
Such as you have Madrasatul Madina
Baligha. This is a starting point, isn't
Yes. This is a madrasa for adults. So you learn. So when your children need to learn, you are educated enough to be able to educate them. Then we have Faizan Online Academy, which is an amazing platform that from the comfort of your home or your workspace online, you can learn the knowledge of Deen, and then you can teach your children as well. So when they have difficulty, you are there to assist them. Don't place yourself in such a situation that you never learned and you never let your children learn either. Then we are responsible for us not knowing, and we are also responsible for not giving them the opportunity to learn the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, you learn and let them learn.
Mashallah.
And for those brave hearts and strong parents, learn together. Learn whilst your children are learning. That your children are learning to read Quran, you learn to read Quran. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, like that, you can assist each other. It doesn't make us greater, it doesn't make us lower. In fact, when we are both learning, I would say, yes, it does make us greater. My mistake on that. It does make us greater.
Yes.
Because Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you once didn't know, and now you know. And the child once didn't know, and through you, now the child knows. Subhanallah. So there you're not only receiving your thawab to learn, or your thawab of learning, you're receiving your thawab of learning, and your child's thawab of learning.
But aren't you then also creating a healthy relationship?
Ah.
I mean, this is quality time we're talking about
yes.
now.
Because you know, now we learn together, yeah. We're partners. Subhanallah.
In fact, Marissa, I was reading not too long ago, this is one of the articles on our website from one of our monthly Faizan-e Madina magazines. Very
right.
beautiful article about how parents should be to the children. And one of the points is that, you know, they were saying there that as a mother, as a father, you must relate to your children some mistakes that you had made in your past. From your experience, in order to teach them not to make the consequences, in order to teach them and train them not to do those things. Obviously not sinful things, but we're talking about maybe I shouldn't have done something, you know, maybe wrong friends, hanging around with wrong friends, etc. So relate some of these types of mistakes you may have made in the past with the intention of training them that they should not make these mistakes. Right. So anyway, we're talking about parents and blessings of parents. Subhanallah, Azza wa Jal. There's another very important angle that we should cover, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Is that when parents are in an argument, when they are quarreling, when they are fighting, so whose side should the kids take?
Oh.
How should the children react?
See, usually, first, I'll state what I've seen as the norm and then what we should be doing. Okay. Usually what happens is whilst parents are fighting, they are arguing, they are quarreling, the father tends to turn the children against the mother and the mother tends to turn the children against the father. So the children hear all the bad of the father from the mother and all the bad of the mother from the father. And here in the center, we have children that see now. They see both their parents in a negative
Allah
light.
Akbar.
Now the children know all the bad of the mother and all the bad of the father. And they behave or they feel negatively towards both parents,
right,
which will eventually make them disrespectful, disobedient towards both parents. They wouldn't give the due respect, the due love to either parent because they've seen too much of the negative. What we should be doing firstly as parents is ensuring that our arguments or quarrels or disagreements are not taken to the children. parents' disagreements should be kept between themselves.
It should not take place in front of them.
Absolutely.
Or where they can hear.
It shouldn't take place where they can hear, where they know what is happening. Rather, keep it silent. Mm. Let the disagreement take place between the spouses and try to find an amicable solution between the spouses without involving the children. Now, that was for the parents. Now, for the children. When parents disagree on something, when they have an argument, a quarrel, then a child must know that this disagreement, this argument, it is between my parents and not involving me. I should not become, as a child, involved in the argument of my parents. I should not pick a side, because my duty is towards both of them.
Mm.
I can't take the side of one and stand against the other.
Right.
They may stand against each other, but I'm not allowed to stand against any of them. And we must be able to even tell our parents with love and respect. If parents try to place us against the next parent, that your father is like this and your mother is like this, then with love and respect, we must let them know that I can't be negative towards my father, I can't be negative towards my mother, because I have to respect and honor both of them. And therefore, please don't give me the duty to be harsh towards them, because Islam doesn't allow me this. Allah Ta'ala has prohibited me from being bad towards my parents, and therefore I will not be able to fulfill such a command where I'm told to do something bad towards my father or towards my mother. So when parents are arguing, do not pick sides. You are on both of their sides. You love both of them. You serve both of them. You try to bring them together. You don't try to pick a side and then draw them apart.
MashaAllah, some wonderful advices for parents and children out there. Parents, don't involve your children. And children, you don't get involved in what your parents are discussing. And SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal, by choosing a side means you are automatically going to hurt the other one.
Yes,
and that is forbidden in Islam. And one more very important thing. Let's say, for example, if a person's parent has passed on and they were displeased with them, the person didn't go ask for maaf, did not apologize, did not make tawbah, the parents are gone now. Is there anything that can be done where there's a chance, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the parent could become pleased with them?
This is a tough situation, because after the parents leave the dunya, then you start to regret all of the times that you did not fulfill their rights and you were not there for them. Well, at that point, there isn't too much that you can do directly to them where you request for them to forgive you, because they've passed on already. So ulama ikram do advise that at this point, look for what benefits them and strive in that path so that it may bring happiness to their hearts. And we have strong hope then that they will then forgive you because of the happiness you brought to their hearts, and that you pleasing them will bring about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also being directed towards you. And how is it that we can find that which pleases them? Well, that which pleases them after they pass away is dua-i maghfirah, means making dua for their forgiveness, and isal-i thawab. Isal-i thawab means doing good deeds and asking Allah Azza wa Jal to bestow the rewards of those good deeds upon your parents. So these two things we need to do in abundance.
Mashallah.
As much as possible, continuously make dua and maghfirah for your parents, that, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, please forgive my believing parents. Oh Allah, please have mercy upon them. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا, as the Quran teaches us that dua. And constantly, whatever ibadat you do, send the thawab to them. If you perform 5 daily salah, which we have to perform, after the salah, make dua, wallah, please grant the thawab to my parents as well. Every time you give sadaqah, wallah, please grant the thawab to my parents as well. You fast in the month of Ramadan, wallah, please grant the thawab to my parents as well. Let your life be a life of ibadah so that you can transfer the thawab, and yours will not be reduced either. You'll get the thawab and they will get the rewards as well. But let your life be a life of ibadah in which you are constantly sending thawab to your parents.
Mashallah.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, with this, they will become pleased, and it's inshallah, our strong hope inshallah. That because of them being pleased, they will forgive you, and because of your parents being pleased, Allah Azza wa Jalla will also forgive you.
Jazakallahu khairan for those wonderful pieces of advice.
Ameen.
Remember, if you want to benefit, let us apply it, let us practice upon it, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us obedient to our parents and bless our parents in both the worlds. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu ala Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.